Good morning, glory. Hallelujah to you. This is Backtracks, Aerosmith Revisited. My name is Corey Mercer, joined as always by St. John Mariano. How are you this evening, my friend?
Hi, Corey, I'm good. Yeah, that's the best Steven Tyler I got right now, man.
Oh, wow. That was horrible. Jesus. Do you want me to cut that out? I don't think I'm going to.
No.
But
no, the fans need to know how awful I can be sometimes. And God, that was awful.
Oh, my Lord. And now I got to follow that up by mentioning our official sponsor, Pop Rock and Radio, with Ken Knapsack. He's going to pull a sponsorship after hearing that, even though he pays absolutely nothing for us to say this.
I have a feeling the good Saint Ken is going to continue rolling with his sponsorship. Pop Rock and Radio killing it on Wednesdays and Saturdays on Mixcloud. Follow him, subscribe to him, subscribe and interact. Follow and listen. By all means, enjoy the music, folks.
Tremendous music. And he reintroduced me to music I forgot I loved. Like, I was listening to his show probably about a month ago. He started playing Veruca Salt. I'm like, man, I haven't heard Veruca Salt since the 90s. He was playing Volcano Girls. I'm like, I fucking love Volcano Girls by Veruca Salt. So I went and downloaded that whole album. Now I'm into a whole Veruca Salt thing, thanks to Ken Knapsack, a very nice man who's going to pull a sponsorship after hearing John Butcher, whatever the fuck that was at the beginning of the show here.
That is not why he's going to pull a sponsorship. The reason why he might pull a sponsorship is what you don't know is I subscribe to Ken and I request songs.
Yep.
Under the alias Johnny Moe. And I give him some of the worst. Like, it doesn't fit what he's doing. Like, it's pop rock and radio, and it's pop rock. And I'm requesting things like Typo Negative on there. Like, I am trying to throw him every curveball in the book. And God bless Ken, because he puts up with my crap.
And thank God he doesn't listen to this show, so he doesn't know that you're trying to throw him off. I'm going to start doing that now. I'm going to create a suit on him and try and request some stuff like that, too. That's a good idea.
I mean, admitting that our sponsor doesn't listen to the show probably isn't the best way to keep him as a sponsor, man.
Well, a good point. But again, he's also not paying. If it was somebody like Manscaped, and like, we're both hairy sons of bitches. If Manscaped wanted to give us, you know, a free razor, I'd plug them, you know, every day of the week and twice on Sundays, but they're not giving a shit. So
if Manscaped was a sponsor, they'd also have to sponsor somebody to actually shave my arms and body, because I don't have that kind of time.
That's right. He's single, ladies. If somebody out there wants to shave John, just, you know, get a hold of him at shavejohn@gmail.com.
Corey, that was a completely different podcast we used to do, where we used to do offers like that. That's this, true. My friend, is Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited. And on this show, we go through the Aerosmith catalog. We roll some dice. There are six sides to that dice. We have six songs on that dice. Whichever song comes up, we talk about. And then we decide whether or not it makes our ultimate Aerosmith mixtape, which we give out to somebody who's never heard Aerosmith before and go, here, this will change your life. And that is the goal of the show. That is what we're doing. And we have six songs on that dice right now. What are they, Mr. Corey?
They are Chip Away the Stone, Rats in the Cellar, Falling in Love is Hard on the Knees, Permanent Vacation, The Other Side, and new from last week, Oh Yeah, from 2012's Music from Another Dimension. We have hit like four of my songs now. Is it three or four?
I think you're beating me 3-1 right now.
3-1. Jeez, if this were a competition, you'd be losing pretty bad.
I mean, I feel like it is a competition, and I am. I'm losing bad.
We got some good songs on the mixtape right now, though. Johnny Moe's first track, Lord of the Thighs, that's on there. And then we have Shut Up and Dance from Get a Grip. We have Last Week I Put No More, No More on there. And Let the Music Do the Talking from Done with Mirrors. So shaping up to be a pretty good mixtape, you know, only four shows in. And we got six good tracks on the dice. I think song five is going to be a pretty good one, too.
Let's see what we got. You got a roll in you right now?
I got a roll. I'm shaking the dice, and here we go. The roll is in, and we are going to get Falling in Love is Hard on the Knees. It's another Corey pick, but it's a favorite of John's, I know.
That's 4-1, but this is going to be a driving track. This to me is what I consider a new Aerosmith. It's over 20 years old, which makes it classic rock at this point.
Oh my God, that's sad.
But this is what I consider a new Aerosmith. Corey, with that being said, why don't we find out why Falling in Love is so hard?
This was the first single from Nine Lives, released in 1997. Remember, Aerosmith was one of the biggest bands in the world at this point in the 90s. Get a Grip is a huge album. They had the big three hits. They had all the videos. Nine Lives was kind of their comeback from that. And it was an interesting time because there was a lot of infighting within the band. You know, they weren't real happy with each other. They weren't happy with their label or their producer. They were working with outside writers. Again, this was the first single released February 1997. Does anything really stand out from you from this era of Aerosmith?
Yeah, oh, totally. Because the big difference is Get a Grip hits, and then Seattle hits, and it's amazing because as much as Aerosmith peaked with Get a Grip, it was almost like they were a forgotten band by the time this came out because music had changed. Nirvana and Soundgarden and Pearl Jam and all those bands changed the landscape of music. And Aerosmith, which was a top band with top hits constantly played on MTV at the time, the big three songs off of Get a Grip, all the big love songs. And then this comes out and is kind of lost in the mix. And that's why is that the music really changed in that short period of time.
That's very true. Produced by Kevin Shirley. This song was written by Steven Tyler, Joe Perry, and Glenn Ballard, who's probably best known for co-writing Jagged Little Pill from one Alanis Morissette.
I mean, you talk about albums that change the landscape of music.
Holy
cow. Jagged Little Pill is a magical album. And I played that a lot in the 90s. But we're here to talk about Aerosmith and Falling in Love is Hard on the Knees. You could see fitting on an album like that in a lot of ways. It's got a roughness to it. It does speak about love. It does to speak about the difficulties of love too. So I think we should give this a listen because God, I love this track.
All right. This is Falling in Love is Hard on the Knees from 1997's Nine Lives.
So it's really interesting, Corey, because we've listened to a lot of older Aerosmith lately, and it starts with the band jamming together. And here, right off the bat, we have Steven Tyler with You're So Bad, You're So Bad, and him singing. And we're already in the thick of the song at the top of it. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, you had mentioned the era that this album came out in, 97. You know, after Seattle grunge, a lot of distortion on those guitars at the beginning, right? It almost sounded like, you know, Soundgarden or something like that, just with the distortion on there. And I know the video for this, if you remember, directed by Michael Bay, I think was a direct reflection on bands like Alice in Chains and that kind of thing, the videos they were producing. So this song, production-wise, very much a product of its time, I think.
Yeah. It definitely feels that way. It feels like Aerosmith trying to keep up with the Joneses a little bit, but mm-hmm. You know, again, I do love this song. I love a lot about it. I just think it's an interesting twist from what we've heard lately, where it's like the band jamming into the song and then the lyrics kind of find their way into it. And here we're hit with the lyrics right up front.
Yes, exactly. And like you said, very different from what we heard in the late 70s, early 80s Aerosmith. And again, very much a product of its time, I think. And we get some great Steven Tyler lyrics in here, even come up in this first verse. So let's give it a listen.
I was making love when you told me that you love me. I thought old Cupid was taking aim. I won't believe her when you told me that you love me. And then you called me someone else's name.
Now that's just classic Steven Tyler, right? There ain't gonna be no more begging you, please. You know what I want, and it ain't one of these. You're bad to the bone, and your girlfriend agrees that falling in love is hard on the knees.
It's such a great play on words, and it's also directly kind of saying what it is all at the same time. God, it's good, and I do wish there was a little bit more room for the instrumentals to breathe a little bit. I know we're going to get that a little bit later, but it's kind of weird. It's almost like a backwards Aerosmith song right now.
You're kind of missing that musical interlude at the beginning there, aren't you?
I really am. And it's almost like, it's playing on my expectations a little bit of what Aerosmith is.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a very good call. And one of my favorite lines in any song is coming up at the end of the song, but we talked about, he's pretty much coming out and saying it. Steven Tyler has been doing that for his career. He got a song on the radio with the line, "You ain't seen nothing till you're down on the muffin." Like, what the fuck do you think that's about? Right? Like, that's coming out and saying it. He wrote a song about a blowjob called "Crying" that hit the charts in America. Like, he's not really subtle about this kind of stuff.
No, and it featured what was essentially a 16-year-old girl in that video.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. I mean, they got away with a lot of crap, dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not all of it's aged well, and not all of it's great, but they've gotten away with a lot of crap.
You know, nothing has aged as bad as 17 by Winger. That still comes up on Sirius all the time. It's like, oh my God, stop playing that song. Yeah. Daddy says she's too young, but she's old enough for me. No, get rid of that. No. Steven Tyler is a little more classy than that. But yeah, he's not hiding the fact of what he's singing about. And all these songs were played on the radio, and church moms are singing, "You ain't seen nothing till you down in the muffin." Oh, he likes baking. No, yeah, not quite.
We're not here to debate the politics of the songs, but God, the lyrics are kind of special with some of the Aerosmith stuff. And what I am missing right now are the instrumentals. So I'm hoping we get to a musical interlude in a little bit, because I do remember the song, but I don't remember missing it that much at the top of it.
All right, let's keep her rolling here.
Chip on the old block, man, you're so much like your sister. My fantasizing must be out of luck. My old libido has been blowing my transistor. I feel like I have been hit by a fuck.
John, have you ever felt like you've been hit by a fuck?
I feel like I get hit by a fuck every morning, man.
I hear you. My old libido has been blowing a transistor. I feel like I've been hit by a fuck.
This is. I mean, this should be a Viagra commercial right now. This sounds like this is Steven Tyler going, "Why doesn't my machinery work anymore?"
All right, let's keep her going. Yeah, before we get into the bridge here, some of my favorite Steven Tyler lyrics are those kind of one-offs where he says, like, "Ain't got no rubbers, but it's raining all the time. Here's another one. I'm major in love, but in all minor keys." That's just a fantastic lyric.
Yeah, no. I mean, this is Steven Tyler's lyrics at their best in this song. And it's like, it was at a weird time for music, but, for Aerosmith, if you're talking like great Aerosmith, this is right there with it in a lot of ways. Let's hear the bridge, because I have a feeling what I've been missing, we're about to get some of it.
Here we go.
What are you looking for? It's got to be hardcore. Must be some kind of new orisha. Is this your only chance? Or some hypnotic trance? Let's get you on a tighter leash. Hold it.
What's so cool about Joe Perry and the way he plays guitar is he makes it sound almost so lazy that like it seems like he's almost bored with how he's playing, but yet it's so exhilarating to listen to. Like when you listen to it, like it's very hard to explain. He's playing an exhilaratingly lazy guitar or a lazy exhilarating guitar, but that's how I would describe it. How about you, Corey?
You know, classic Joe Perry, right? And one thing I know, you know, the horns, do they seem out of place to you a little bit in 1997 Aerosmith? Like when I'm hearing a song like Girl Keeps Coming Apart from Permanent Vacation, the horns make sense. Dude Looks Like a Lady, the horns make sense. Do the horns make sense in Falling in Love? I don't know.
I feel like they do because it's Aerosmith. Now, does Aerosmith in 97 make sense? I don't know because it was the era of music at the time and they were definitely out of place. But the horns, 100%, like this sounds like Aerosmith. And the horns, to me, belong there. I feel like, you know, 20 plus years in hindsight, they make more sense than they made sense at the time on the radio. But that's back when we listened to terrestrial radio and had rock stations and stuff. And that stuff is going away, my friend.
Yeah. And like you said, this was kind of a weird time for Aerosmith. 4 years removed from Get a Grip, music changed quite a bit in 1997. And they were 1 year away from their biggest hit of all time, which is a song eventually we're going to have to put on the dice. I don't know what your feelings are about that one, and we'll just refer to it as that one.
I'm not going to spoil anything. I will say that it will probably be a while before we put that one on the tape.
It may be show 300 before that one that comes on. But yeah, you know, I like the solo and I like the distortion. I like everything about this song. The horns to me, like you said, Aerosmith as a band were out of place at this point. Maybe a little out of place on this track was my only thought there. But let's keep going here. We're coming up to my favorite verse, maybe in Aerosmith history.
You ain't that good is what you said down to the letter, but you like the way I hold a microphone. Sometimes I'm good, but when I'm bad, I'm even better. Don't give me no lip, I got enough on my own.
All right. You ain't that good is when you sit down to the letter, but you like the way I hold the microphone. Sometimes I'm good, but when I'm bad, I'm even better. Don't give me no lip, I got enough of my own. Fuck me, that is my favorite maybe Aerosmith line of all time. I love that.
And Steven Tyler, infamously known for his lips. I used to draw a caricature of him that was 90% lip. I used to draw him and Mick Jagger. It was basically the two of them arguing over who had the bigger lips. And you know, that lyric kind of says it all. It's a great description of Steven Tyler in a lot of ways. And God, this is lyrically one of their best songs.
Don't give me no lip, I got enough of my own is maybe my favorite Steven Tyler lyric. And right now I can say that because we're only a handful of shows in. Show 300, let's revisit this and see if it still is. But God, it was just absolutely perfect. So that's twice Steven Tyler has referenced your girlfriend. You're bad to the bone and your girlfriend agrees that falling in love is so hard on the knees. Classic Steven Tyler.
It feels a little personal. It feels like I took my girlfriend to the show and Steven Tyler stole her. And, you know, it's probably not that far from the truth in a lot of ways. I'm sure there are plenty of boyfriends that have that story over time.
Hundreds, if not thousands.
And last week we talked about a road diary for Steven Tyler. This might be another road diary of sorts for Steven Tyler.
I love it. All right, Falling in Love is Hard on the Knees, the first single from 1997's Nine Lives. John Mariano, your thoughts?
My thoughts are this is a song that plays on the Aerosmith expectations while still remaining Aerosmith. We don't get the musical intro or outro on this song as much. It just kind of ends at the end. And even with that, like, it is definitively an Aerosmith song, and one I am absolutely putting on the mixtape for a lot of reasons, and especially those lyrics. It is Steven Tyler running on all cylinders with a band running around him, doing everything they need to do to support him on this. And God, this was a good choice, Corey.
Yeah, I love this song. I remember when this album came out, a lot of kind of fair weather casual Aerosmith fans were not happy because it was a little harder edge. They were trying to kind of maybe compete with the Seattle bands a little bit, but I really love this album. And there's some songs on here where I look at and think, what the hell were you thinking? But largely, like 85-90% of this album, I think is truly tremendous and some of the best stuff Aerosmith has done, and kind of a callback to their better stuff from the 70s.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. And you know, some of Aerosmith's best stuff is them playing with expectations. We're going to talk about some classic Aerosmith songs at some point that definitely play with expectations, and this does that as well as any of them. By all means, it makes sense why this was the first single off this album, and it was a tough era for them to compete with other songs, but there's no reason why this song doesn't compete with those other songs in hindsight.
So you know what? I'm feeling some pressure here, John, because it's been all my songs since week one, since episode one. They've all been my picks, and I've been picking great songs. So I'm thinking about reaching a little deeper in the catalog, and I'm thinking about maybe going to something from 1982, an album that Joe Perry and Brad Whitford were not on, called A Rock and a Hard Place. And I'm going to go with a song that it's been popping up on Shuffle a lot for me lately, and it's a song called Jailbait.
Oh, I'm familiar with this track. That is an interesting choice. And, you know, one that doesn't have the entire band as we know it on it. But I respect this choice. I respect it in a lot of ways, Corey. I not that I wanted to come up next week, but I got to start making a comeback on the dice at some point. But excellent choice.
Thank you very much. It's one that when I think of songs from Rock and a Hard Place, Lightning Strikes is the one that jumps out, because that was the single. And it's a great Aerosmith song that not a lot of people know about. But like I said, Jailbait's been popping up. And I'm like, oh, you know, it starts off well. There's some good stuff with Jailbait. And for some reason, off the top of my head, I had to pick a song that I'm like, oh, let's go with something a little more obscure. So we're going to Rock and a Hard Place from 1982 in Jailbait. And you know, the way I'm rolling the dice right now, I'm on a hot streak. We're probably going to get that next week.
I mean, it's probably going to be a Corey song, folks, but I'm gonna get going. I gotta go practice riding with Ken. I got slaughtered last week by what we call griefers in the cowboy game, and they're people who go around and just don't let you play very much. They last you up, they tie you up, they set you on fire. And I gotta go practice and warm up a little bit, because I got lit last week. So you can find me on Twitch every Tuesday night on Ken Knapsack's Twitch channel, playing Red Dead Redemption, or just support our sponsor on Pop Rock and Radio on Mixcloud every Wednesday and Sunday, or just listen to it after the fact. Those shows sit there for you. Follow them, subscribe to them. Interact with the shows. You'll love it. We've talked about it a lot, so you know enough about it at this point, but God, please go support Ken, because we support great music and people who love great music, and Ken is one of them. And also support Corey and Mark with And the Podcast Will Rock, the greatest growing musical commentary show on the charts right now. They have terrific chemistry. They're crushing it. I'm saying this so Corey doesn't have to pat himself on the back, because he doesn't need to. People are talking about it for him, including me, who listens. And I'm an avid listener of them, and Mark, and God, they're crushing it.
You know, we got people listening to this show, John. I want to shout out a couple of our fans of Aerosmith that are checking out the show. Kels on Twitter @Kels. She goes by Kelsey Van Halen. She's listening to the show, and Jonathan Meisner. I know as soon as we announced the show, he was bugging me like, where can I find the show? I'm on Android. When is it coming out? And he bugging me again before the episode 3 drop. Is like, I can't find the show yet. So, Jonathan, if you're still with us, thank you for listening. And hopefully you'll stick with us for the entire ride, because this is a tremendous band. Thank you for listening to the Podcast Will Rock as well. We're having a lot of fun over there. At Podcast Will Rock on Twitter, and podcastwillrock.com is the website. And you can find me personally at CD Morissette. If you're so inclined, let us know what your favorite Aerosmith songs are. And let's keep the conversation rolling. We've got 6 great songs on the dice currently. Four of which have been on there forever. Chip Away the Stone, Rats in the Cellar, Permanent Vacation, The Other Side, and just new the last couple of weeks, Oh Yeah, and Jailbait, which I'm just putting on there from Rockin' a Hard Place. John, anything else before we call it a night?
I love that we leave the last word to Mr. Tyler. I love your pick so far. So far, it's your mixtape, Corey. I thought it was going to be a group effort, but apparently it's not, according to the dice. Maybe the dice wasn't such a great idea, but I actually love that we don't know what we're going to talk about every week. You're killing it, my friend. I'd say we're killing it, but it's been your choices that I've been endorsing at this point. And I have no problem with that, because you have great taste in music, my friend.
Well, and so do you. All 3 songs you put on the dice are fantastic. And I'm really, really hoping we get a John Zahn next week. If there's any justice in the world, the dice, the lovely, benevolent dice will give us a John pick for next week. But until then, we always give the last word to one Mr. Steven Tyler. And here it is.